Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and today we have plenty of local sports to get into. Now, yesterday after the show, I was able to sit down with Tom Laszlo, who is the archery coach for Mont Harmon Middle School, and this is really cool. Tomorrow, Mont Harmon and Helper will actually participate in the national finals for archery. I've never really shot a bow and arrow. I know it can't be easy, but these two programs have really, really put through some kids that are outstanding with an arrow in their hands, Travis. So I wanted to get Coach Laszlo on the show to talk about the archery squads. Couldn't get him on live. Schedules wouldn't work out, but we're going to replay that interview today because I think it's important to talk about those kids. They're doing big things. It's very cool. They qualified at the state, and now they're competing in nationals on Friday and Saturday, and it just so happens that nationals is in Salt Lake. It's the second year that these schools have participated. Last time it was in Kentucky, but it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, I've never shot a bow and arrow like you, but the concentration to hold that as steady as you can and to just hit the target, it's amazing.
I'm not even going to try to act like an expert on archery. I'm going to let Laszlo talk a little bit about it. And again, I'm going to play that interview for you a little bit later on in the show. I think it'll be interesting. Stay tuned for that. Joining us live in the studio next segment, we're going to catch up with Carbon Dino football coach Josh Huntsman. You say, why? It's April. Football workouts are underway, and then we have the 3A versus the 1A and the 2A state all-star game, which is going down in Ephraim in June. And we are actually going to bring you the live play-by-play call for that contest right here on KOAL. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And so we're going to talk to Coach Huntsman about that and also what he has in store for Carbon football. You know, he was voted Coach of the Year for the region, and Carbon didn't win a single game. Now, that doesn't necessarily matter because this team was in almost every single game that they played, and the turnaround has been drastic. And I love the fact that Coach Huntsman and his staff have been pegged to coach the 3A All-Stars in this game and that he was recognized for the job that he has done at Carbon High because the turnaround is obvious. He has done a great job at Carbon High School, so kudos to those coaches for recognizing where Carbon football is at.
Yeah, he's done a great job turning that program around, getting them in the direction that they need to be. So, yeah, he's doing a fantastic job with the program, so he well deserves to be the all-star coach.
I agree with you 100%. So we're going to talk to Coach Huntsman next segment here on Drive Time Sports. He'll join us live in the studio. Travis, with that being said, the NBA season is complete. I can't believe it. It went by in a hurry. The Jazz had an opportunity to clinch the number 3 seed in the Western Conference last night. It did not work out for them. The Portland Trailblazers get the win. They get the 3 seed, and because of that, the Jazz will drop to the 5 seed, which means they get Oklahoma City in the first round.
It's going to be a battle. Oklahoma City has a lot of big names on that roster. It really didn't gel throughout the season. They got Russell Westbrook, the MVP from last year. So for Utah, it's an uphill battle. Absolutely not having home court is. We'll see if their road, dominance that they've started in January can continue over in the playoffs.
I don't worry about this series for the Jazz. Obviously, you'd rather play the Pelicans. I mean, to me, that was the more favorable matchup because when I look at New Orleans' talent on paper, they have Anthony Davis. And with Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors, to me, that was a perfect matchup for the Jazz. However, avoiding San Antonio, I think, was big as well. I think they can beat Oklahoma City. I said this yesterday. I'm going to go back to it. The one player in the league that I would have no hesitation to pay to watch is Russell Westbrook. How did the Jazz slow down Westbrook? I don't worry too much about Carmelo Anthony. I really don't. I do like, this is kind of the irony, right? I mean, it's ironic that the last time a rookie led his team in scoring and went to the playoffs, you know what team it was and who it was?
Is it Durant?
No, it was Melo with the Nuggets.
With the Nuggets. Hmm.
And now Donovan Mitchell has done it, and he'll go toe-to-toe with Carmelo Anthony. So I think that's kind of ironic. I like the matchup. I like Utah in this series. I think the Jazz get it done in six games. I'm going to say Utah finishes it in Vivint. You never want to go to game seven on the road in the NBA, and so I think the Jazz have to finish this in six games, but I think they will. I think they'll take one of two to start this series. I think they serve home court, winning games three and four, and then I think they close it out in six. I think that's what I'm going to roll with on the series. You don't like this matchup for the Jazz.
No, I like Oklahoma City in seven. Not having home court advantage, I think, is key for the Jazz with the Thunder, you know, leapfrogging them. I like the Thunder in seven. I like Russell. I'm always going to take the team that has the best player, and I feel Oklahoma City has the best player in Russell Westbrook.
I agree with you there. He is by, I'm not going to say by far, but he is the best player in this
series. Yeah, he's the best player in the series. So I'm going to roll with the Thunder in seven.
You know, and I think you could also make the argument the Thunder have the second best player in this series as well in Paul George.
Yes.
Now, once you get past that point, I think the Jazz are a better team all the way around. I like the depth of Utah. I like what they have out of the backcourt outside of Russell Westbrook. And, of course, I think in the middle, the Jazz definitely have the advantage with Rudy Gobert. I like Utah to win this series, but I think it's going to be a drawn-out series. I think it is the most entertaining first-round series that we get. Houston and Minnesota, boy, the Timberwolves did everything they could to not advance to the playoffs. They get an overtime victory last night over the Denver Nuggets, so they get the Rockets in round one. And then also we get the 2-7. That's Golden State and San Antonio. What a difference a year makes, huh?
Yeah, Kawhi, rumors are he will play in game one.
That's something, isn't it?
That's something for the Warriors who, you know, maybe didn't play down the stretch, trying to, you know, keep that two seed to avoid certain matchups, and now they get the Spurs with Kawhi.
And then you get Portland and New Orleans. Now we take a look at the Eastern Conference. Toronto gets Washington. Boston gets Milwaukee. Philadelphia, who is the three seed, gets Miami. And then the Cavaliers will get the Pacers. And the reason I say Philadelphia being the three seed is so big, the Cavs will have to get through Indiana, which I believe they will, but it's not going to be an easy task. Then they are going to have to get through Toronto, and then they'll have to get past either Boston or Philadelphia, the most difficult road that LeBron James has had in the Eastern Conference since joining the Miami Heat, hands down.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup. The first, they'll win. They'll beat the Pacers in five or six, but the Pacers are probably going to push them a little bit, and then you get to Toronto. Toronto's a very good team, and you never know. It's a 6-7 game series, and if it keeps, you know, drawing out longer and longer, that just hurts Cleveland even more.
Let's take a look at Major League Baseball and what we have today. Right now, a final. The Pirates get the best of the Cubs, 6-1. The Cubbies dipped to 6-6 with this setback. The Pirates, 9-3. I know a lot of people made fun of the Pirates in the offseason for some of the moves that they have made, but they have played lights-out baseball up to this point in time, and they take it to the Cubs 6-1 earlier today. As far as matchups still to come in Major League Baseball, the Tigers and the Indians will battle at 4:10. We get the Cardinals at the Reds at 4:40. Your man Joey Votto, not in the lineup for the first time since like 2016, right?
September 2016 was his last day off.
Well, they're going to give him a day off. When they say day off, he is going to pinch hit at some point in time of this game.
Yeah,
he's
probably
going to get a bat.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds are the worst team in baseball.
He's going to get a bat at some point in time in this game. The Reds are 2-9. The Cardinals at 5-7. 5 o'clock hour, we get the Rockies and the Nationals. The Yankees will take on the Red Sox. Tempers flaring in that series. And that's what a rivalry is all about. Doesn't matter that it's April. The Yankees do not like the Red Sox. The Red Sox do not like the Yankees. And we had a brawl last night, and it was very entertaining. White Sox will take on the Twins at 6:10. We get the Angels and the Royals at 6:15. Nightcap tonight, the Giants will take on the Padres. Speaking of brawls, the Padres were in one with Colorado Rockies when Manuel Margot was hit with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. You knew there'd be some retaliation. There was at Nolan Arenado. And so the Rockies and the Padres had a brawl themselves. There were a couple of fights in baseball yesterday. It's only April, fellas.
It's only April. We got bench-clearing brawls, people throwing at each other. So, yeah, that's baseball.
We're going to break for just a moment again. Heavy local sports edition of Drive Time Sports. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Coach Josh Huntsman. And again, we'll talk archery a little bit later with Tom Laszlo from Mont Harmon. It's going to be a lot of fun today, talking lots of local sports when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the baseball diamond, where yesterday the Carbon Dinos improved their region record to a perfect 5-0 as they defeated the previously unbeaten Union Cougars 14-10 on the road in Roosevelt. The Dinos were tied with Union along with JUAB for first place in the region, entering the highly important contest. And the action did not disappoint, but it was Corbin that came out on top by scoring 4 runs in the 5th inning and 4 runs in the 7th, ending the game on an 8-1 run to secure the big victory. The Dinos were led in this contest by Zach Bradley. He finished 2-5 at the plate and also scored 2 runs while bringing in 1 RBI. Both of Bradley's hits qualified as doubles. Corbin also received extra base hits from Cesar Lea and Anthony Jones, who registered doubles, while Ty Anderson finished with a triple. Triton Abeto recorded the win on the mound for Corbin. He pitched 3 2/3, giving up 3 hits and no earned runs. Zach Bradley also pitched 3 1/3 innings. He gave up 6 hits and 4 earned runs. Now again, the win for Corbin places them at 5-0, which puts them at the top of the Region 14 standings. They'll look to complete the season series sweep of the Union Cougars when the two teams meet again. That'll be this Friday at Helper's American Legion Baseball Field. Start time for the contest is set for 3 p.m. We continue on with high school baseball, but we move over to Emory, and yesterday the Spartans suffered a 6-3 loss to the American Leadership Academy Eagles in a non-league tilt. This contest took place in Spanish Fork. The game was deadlocked at 0 going into the bottom of the 4th inning when ALA scored 4 runs. They added 2 more in the 6th to take a 6-0 lead. Emory finally scored their first run in the top of the 7th. They scored 3, but it was not enough to secure the come-from-behind victory or force extra innings. The loss for Emory means little to nothing as far as their region record goes. The Spartans are currently 3-4 in league play, and they'll return to the field on Friday to take on the Manti Templars. This contest will take place in Manti. It'll be the second and final meeting of the regular season between the two teams. Emory won the first earlier this week by a final score of 7-2. We move away from high school sports and we take a look at the Desert Thunder Raceway. They are set to open up the gates for the very first time this season, Friday and Saturday. This year's season opener will feature the International Motor Contest Association Modifieds, also known as the IMCA Modifieds. That'll be the main event. Also featured throughout the night will be stock cars, hobby stocks, mini stocks, and for possibly the only time this year, dwarf cars. The track itself will host 4 sets of races as they return later this month on April 28th, and then again in May. The season will come to a close at the Desert Thunder Raceway in September with the Castle Country Clash. The schedule is a 2-race increase from last season. Now, the action on both Friday and Saturday is scheduled to begin at 6 p.m., and the gates are scheduled to open at 5. Family passes will be available at the gates for $25. Adults are $8 on Friday and $10 on Saturday. Children 6 to 12 will be $5 on Friday and $6 on Saturday. Pit passes are available for $15, and children up to 5 are free. And we move over to the national sports scene, where last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the Utah Jazz suffered a 102-93 loss to the Portland Trail Blazers in a game that was deciding who the number 3 seed in the Western Conference would be. Now, that loss actually dips the Jazz all the way to number 5, which puts them in a first-round matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder. The first contest of this series will take place on Sunday beginning at 4:30 p.m. You will be able to listen to live coverage of this basketball game by tuning in to KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. This game will take place in OKC. The Jazz will play host to games 3 and 4. The series will go back to Oklahoma City for 5 if necessary, and then to Utah for 6 if necessary, followed by Oklahoma hosting game 7. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll talk more Utah Jazz basketball on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions. And only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
We're going to talk high school football today here on the show. I know it's April, but look, football never sleeps. It's a year-round sport. In fact, next week, we're going to be joined by Coach Kyle Whittingham of the Utah Utes to talk about spring workouts, spring practices for the Utah Utes. I thought it's only right to talk some high school football during spring workouts as well. So joining us in the studio to talk a bit about spring workouts and also the upcoming 3A All-Star game, which will take place in June in Snow College. We have Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbondale football program right now. Coach, always a pleasure to get you in. Thanks for stopping by today.
Definitely. I appreciate you having me in.
Well, definitely, Coach. It is the off season, but middle of April already, and I know this is where things kind of ramp up for you guys, at least in the off season, right? I mean, you start lifting weights in, what, February and March, and now we're already to April.
Yeah, and we're down on the football field Thursday nights at 6, doing 7-on-7, you know, working a little bit on our pass game, working on our defensive coverages. And so, you know, our kids are out there having a good time. It's low key, not a lot of pressure. We just go out and throw the ball around.
And that right there can do a lot, I guess, from a team building aspect, but also gives you guys a little bit of a chance to get on the same page.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, and it gives me a chance to do that weekly grade check. We'll pull our kids in and I'll have them bring me their grades from the week and we'll look at them and see where they're at. And we don't want kids to have to go through summer school, and so we're working at trying to keep grades where they need to be. We kind of got a new program that we're installing this year, and it has to do with the black six that we put on the back of our helmets. The atomic element of carbon is 6, and so we wanted to showcase that. We want to showcase the mining community around here a little bit, and so we've got a write up about you know, what it takes to earn a black six.
Very neat.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting season this year. We've got a lot of talented kids coming back. We've got a lot of senior leadership that's going to be very good for us. You know, we lose some seniors that were good players. We lose Nate Olson. We lose Oscar Herrera, Ashton Larson, you know, Johnny Scoggins, some of those kids, George Martinez. But we definitely have a good senior class coming up through.
Well, with this group that you have coming back, I mean, last year you guys didn't win a game, but at the same time, steps were made. I mean, you guys were in so many games last season, especially in region play. I know in the past there have been opportunities to win non-region games, but being as competitive as you guys were in region games, I'm sure that probably at least creates, I hope, a little bit of enthusiasm for these kids coming back.
You know, it definitely does, and I'll say it again, we have the SEC of Utah football with the conference that we're in. Morgan is still tough, and Grantsville, what a surprise they were this year. They're a good football club, and Union is tough. Emory's tough every year. And so, you know, we've just got to get better and better each week, and we constantly tell our kids, just play hard, don't care what anyone thinks, you know, and things will start happening. You know, winning breeds winning. And, you know, I think with the group that we have coming back, there's definitely an opportunity to win some football games.
I don't want to diminish anything that's taken place over the last 3 years or so, but is it fair to say that this is the most important year of your tenure as head coach?
Well, definitely is. This is the group that's all mine. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these other kids played for Jan as a freshman. And so those seniors had played for Jan as a freshman and played for other coaches. And so this group, this is our group. And, you know, this is what we're hanging our hat on. We've worked hard for this year, and if these kids can pull together and become as one, I think they're going to win some football games.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbondale football squad. Coach, the summer, the offseason, I guess we can call it, does have a pretty cool event that'll be popping up here before we know it in the month of June. You're going to have an opportunity to coach the 3A All-Stars, and you guys will go toe-to-toe with the 1A and 2A All-Stars. This is a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, we try to take as many All-State players as we can, and then we fill in with All-Star players after that. So, you know, we'll have Nate Olson there, and we'll have Oscar Herrera, Ashton Larson, Johnny Scoggins will be representatives of Carbon. We haven't heard anything from Emory as to who they're going to have come and represent Emory for the All-State game. You know, this is a senior event, so these are for graduating seniors, and you know, it kind of gives them an opportunity to be showcased. We're going to play the football game at Snow College. It'll be on June 8th, 7 p.m. It'll be a Friday night under the lights, you know, on a college field, beautiful turf, you know, light up the scoreboard, you know, getting an opportunity to play the 2A and 1A All-Stars as well.
You mentioned the venue. For those who have never been to Snow College's football field, you're missing out, because even on game day, it's a terrific atmosphere.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, back in the day when I was at Ricks College, we used to go over to Snow and play, and it was natural grass then. And it was always about 5 inches tall and wet, you know, kind of that old Raiders thing, you know, that big rivalry between Ricks College and Snow College. And, you know, what a great place to play a football game. It's just gorgeous venue. You got the mountains around you. You've got, you know, that it's almost a college atmosphere when these kids will be there. It should be an entertaining football game as well.
So what do you do as a coach? Again, you're going to be coaching the 3A All-Stars. So what do you do between now and then as far as preparation work? Or do you do anything at all?
Well, I'm getting a hold of kids. You know, I got to get a hold of kids and let them know that we'd love to have them come and play. And the biggest thing is you have kids that are graduating, some kids that have signed with colleges already. And so they may not, you know, feel like they want to play in that All-Star game, but we want them to make sure that they feel welcome and make sure that they feel like their presence there. You have Manti, who lost a young man to an ACL tear right there at the end of basketball season, and so he won't be able to play, but he's getting an opportunity to put a jersey on to be on the sideline there, and that's what it's about, is getting these kids out there and showcasing them and letting some of these colleges see them play with really good players. And that's important, is that we can showcase these kids and have colleges get a look at them.
You mentioned it's a senior game, and I know we've had seniors in the past go represent Carbon High School here. For your underclassmen or your kids that are going into their senior year, I'm sure that's something that they kind of they want, right? I mean, they talk to each other. I'm sure it's something they want a taste of as well.
Definitely do. And you know, we've got a lot of our sophomores and a lot of our juniors that says, well, we're going to go over and watch that game. And, you know, and that's great. We've got four kids that are representing Carbon High School. Again, we don't know how many will represent Emory, but we have four kids that are representing us, and they're going to do a fantastic job. And it puts a showcase on the 3A classification itself.
Which, again, as you mentioned, 3A classification, especially this last year, the competitive parity was fantastic.
Oh, it was great. You know, and you never knew who was going to win what game, what week. You know, yeah. Morgan was a good football club, but, you know, they were beatable each week. And Emory was beatable each week. We were beatable each week. Grantsville was beatable each week. You know, we kind of laid an egg on homecoming, but each one of the teams, you know, in our region played phenomenal seasons, and that's what you like to see. You like to see good football, and I thought last year we had really good football.
You and I had a conversation a little bit off of the air about the amount of kids that you have coming into the program, especially these ninth graders. You had a pretty key role in rallying Mont Harmon and Helper, I thought, last year. You guys went above and beyond to get those games played at Carbon High School. It was a very neat feel. How is that translated into getting participation this year from some of the younger kids?
You know, you got Babe Ruth season that's happening right now for mm-hmm. those younger kids, and so we're not seeing as many of them as we would like, but we have a lot of kids who have spoken to us, said that they're going to play, want to play, and we've got quite a few that are actually coming out 7-on-7s, and so we're pretty excited for the two groups to bring those two together and to have a very successful freshman group. We've, you know, put together a schedule for our freshman team and we've got a JV schedule, we've got a varsity schedule, and so we would like to keep those kids together as long as we can, you know, as they grow in the program with each other, they're just going to be more successful.
I mean, that right there in itself, how long has it been since we've had a freshman JV and varsity group?
It's been since Jan was here. It's been 5 years, almost yeah. 4 or 5 years to where we've had all three teams. And so, you know, our JV team is going to be a little bit smaller. We might have a few of those freshmen play in both games. But, you know, it's the more football you play, the better you're going to be, in my opinion. And so if we can get kids into actual real live game situations and actually play against kids their own size, kids their own age, they're going to be much better off.
What's the schedule look like as far as what the state allows in the moratorium periods from here until the beginning of the season in August?
You know, we can work with our kids. We can't put pads on, but we can go out and work with our kids, and we can do 7-on-7s. We can do, you know, just about anything as long as we're not hitting each other. And so it'll be good. They've kind of changed the rules a little bit to where, you know, you have opportunities to go out and do more things. You have these kids that will go to basketball camps all summer. You got kids that will go to baseball camps all summer and play baseball all summer. And so football, I mean, it's been to where in the state of Utah, where it's been August through October, and this actually opens it up a little bit more for them to get a little bit more instruction.
No way can football be an August to October sport, right?
It definitely can't, you know, and football's so hard that you can only play one game a week.
Right.
And that's the way we view it. And we're going to prepare for each one of those games each week. And, you know, right now our primary focus is on Manti, and what we can do to beat Manti, and we've got a long time to prepare for him, and so that's a good thing. We, you know, we've been watching film, we've been doing what we can to get ready for that, and you know, we just got to keep having the kids come in, keep doing 7-on-7, keep focused, and keep doing the things that we're doing.
For anyone that is interested in joining the football team or at least seeing what you guys are about, Coach, what are some of the key times and dates that you would like to throw out to those kids?
You know, a key date would be the 16th of June, where I believe it's the 16th of June. We're going to head to Manti for a 7-on-7 camp. We've withdrawn from the Ute shoot this year. We're not going to go compete in that. We have our starting quarterback is going to be at boot camp over the summer. Our backup quarterback is going to be in Wisconsin with his mother and with his family, and so we would be training a quarterback for the Ute shoot, which gets tough when you have schools from all over the Mountain West coming. Yeah. And so we're going to prepare for Manti's camp on the 16th of June and go from there. Then in July, you know, towards the end of July, right around the 14th, 15th of July, we're going to do our team camp. And in our team camp, we usually get together with Summit Academy and North San Pete, and we do some scrimmages. We're going to invite our officials association to come on over and get some training for themselves, so you know they're better prepared for the season as well. And so it should be a good summer. We're pretty excited for all the events that are going to happen.
Well, Coach, it's great to get you in and start talking football. I know it's April and people are probably saying football already, but look, it is a year-round sport.
It definitely is a year-round sport, and you know, we love that our kids are out doing other things. We love that our kids are playing baseball, running track. You know, we had a lot of our football players who decided to run track this year, trying to get times for colleges. You know, colleges are always asking, what's your 100 time? What's your 200 time? And so we've got quite a few of our kids that are doing that. And so we're pretty excited for them and pretty excited for where athletics is going in Carbon County.
Well, I look forward to talking again real soon, Coach. I know we got the All-Star game coming up in June, and I know you and I will be in conversation before then. So, again, thank you for stopping by today.
Definitely. I appreciate you having me. Remember, go Dinos.
Go Dinos, definitely. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Live from the KOAL newsroom at Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Take that for data.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Said I wanted to talk some archery on the show today, and that's because tomorrow and Saturday, Mott Harmon and Helper will be participating in the national finals for archery. And this program is about 2 years old. Last year, Mott Harmon traveled to the nationals, which was actually in Kentucky, and they performed quite well this year at the state. In fact, 3 out of the top 10 in the state actually go to Mott Harmon on the boys' side. I believe it was 4 out of the top 11 on the girls' side. Yesterday, I caught up with Tom Laszlo, who will coach the group. He stopped by the studio after Drive Time Sports, so we did a pre-recorded interview that I want to play back right now. This is Tom Laszlo joining us to talk some archery at Mott Harmon. First off, this is a pretty cool deal. I know that these kids have had a lot of success, obviously. They've qualified for nationals. But if we go to the base of it, now you teach PE at Mott Harmon, but it's a little bit different, right? I mean, you and I were talking about this a little bit off the cuff. It's not just regular PE.
No, it's PE explorations. We do more shooting-based, a little bit of tying flies, swimming. So just kind of different stuff that we thought kids would kind of be into. So,
how long has this been offered at Mott Harmon?
This is the second year we've done it. So,
what's been the reception from the kids?
I think most of them like it. We've had a lot of kids sign up for the class, so we're just going to kind of keep running with it and see what happens.
Yeah, I know back, you got to go back a ways when I was in school, but that was never offered. I mean, PE was kickball. That's what it was. So this is really neat. I mean, you mentioned some of the topics that you're able to teach the kids, but it seems like we've always been really good at archery. Like over the last 2 years, I'm hearing a lot of great stuff coming out of archery.
Yeah, the elementary does a great job. They got Mr. Hansen over there at the elementary, and then he's trained a lot of kids for us, and then we kind of pick them up, and we've just really excelled with it the last few years. We got a lot of kids shooting. Most of the kids in all the PE exploration classes get to shoot a bunch, so that's really helped the program. And then also Phil Howe up at Helper, he's done a remarkable job. They had some kids do exceptionally well at state, so the community's kind of really getting into it, and the kids are loving it, so we're running with it.
What are some of the things, aside from shooting archery, that that you believe have sparked the interest for these kids to kind of take the role that they have and have the success that they had? I mean, what are some of the things that they do away from archery that translates? And that's probably a weird question, but I know when we talk about wrestling and football go hand in hand together. You know what I'm saying? So what are some of the things that help them away from archery?
Well, I think the outdoors in our area, I think the kids love to hunt and fish. And so you have shooting, and it's kind of the natural thing to go along with that. And some of the kids that are excelling at archery really surprised me. We've had all types of kids. We've had athletes excel, and then we've also had kids that are just academically great excel at it. And so it's been pretty impressive to watch the kids shoot.
24 kids in all is what you have on your team, right?
Yeah, we shoot 24 kids. So what I did was I just told anybody in the school they could try out. Most of them were from my first semester's PE exploration class. And so they came in and they shot, and I just kept a running total of scores, and I just took the highest 24 scores, and that's what our team consists of.
Is it one of those sports where you need to have depth? I mean, I know when we talk track and field, depth points is actually what wins you championships in track and field. And I think that's the same in swimming, and it's definitely the same in cross country. Is that kind of the same logic in archery? You need to have those depth scores in order to win?
Yeah, absolutely. Because how they scored is they take the top 12 out of 24 shooters. And so if you have a kid, maybe your ace that day isn't shooting good, then maybe your kid that's not usually in the top 12 shoots great that day, then his score will actually bump into play. So it takes, you basically have your top 12 shooters out of the 24 is what gets scored. So you need the depth. You have to have it in case somebody has a bad day.
Out of those 24 kids, do you see a lot of them pushing one another? I mean, is it that close in talent where you could have the majority of these 24 kids pushing one another?
Yeah, we have several kids that are hitting around that 280 mark, which is incredible. We have one kid on our team that occasionally he'll break 290. And so it's pretty competitive. I think most of the kids are running right there. I know on our girls at state, Casey Brady, she was the top shooter in the middle school out of 190 girls. She shot a 270, and then the girl under her was Jesmyn Pressett with a 269, and under her we had a girl shoot a 268. So we had the top three girls out of 190 in the state, and they were all one point apart. So they're all really tight.
It's pretty incredible when you think about it. And I know you guys had a ton of success on the boys' side as well. You had three in the top 10 for the boys.
Yeah, we had three in the top 10 on the boys. The three were Nathan Engar. Let me see here. I don't know if Nathan Engar, Parker Morgan, and Dylan Curtis. Those were our three boys. And in fact, they were all seventh graders. Nathan Engar was the top seventh grade shooter, and out of 77 kids, he was the top. And Parker Morgan was third, and Dylan Curtis was fourth. So, yeah, they're all pretty tight right there. Mm-hmm.
Again, we're being joined right now by Tom Laszlo as we talk about the archery squad at Mont Harmon. And again, they'll be participating in the Nationals Friday and Saturday. Now, the Nationals will take place in Salt Lake, correct?
Yep, Salt Lake. Yep.
Second consecutive year that you guys have competed in Nationals?
Yeah, last year Nationals was in Kentucky. And so our team qualified. We took third at state last year, and so we went out there for that. And we finished kind of in the middle of the pack there. This team actually shooting significantly higher scores than last year's team. So,
how many kids last year who made that trip to Kentucky will make this trip to Salt Lake? Do you have any returners?
Yeah, we have a few returners. I think we have three or four returners. I know, I'm trying to think, Trevor Worley's a returner, and Emily Elliott's also a returner. And Izzy Anderson, she's also a returner. So, and I don't know if I have any others, but I think those are the three returners. Most of our team last year was eighth graders, and this year we consist more of seventh grade.
How much of an improvement have you noticed in those kids that got that experience last year? Because, I mean, that's the top level of competition that you're going to be competing against. How much did that improve those kids?
I think it more helped them with their nerves. Yeah. A lot of those kids kind of saw it. I think at Nationals they kind of got pretty nervous. There's about 15,000 shooters at Nationals. And so it kind of gave them that feel for it, and I think they'll be a little bit more settled.
It's a little bit out of the norm getting to talk to an archery coach here. I mean, typically I'm talking to football, basketball, baseball coaches, and I kind of know what the pet peeves are and what some of the frustrating aspects of the game can be for a coach. When you're teaching kids archery and you're coaching archery and you know that these kids have the ability that they have, what are some of the things that you as a coach you have to be concerned about when you go into a competition?
I think more than anything, it's mental toughness. They got the fundamentals now, and once they get the fundamentals down, it's more if they shoot a bad arrow, keeping your head in the game and not messing up the next shot. And so it's more if they shoot a bad one or they pull one, or they have a bad release on one, I think it's more just keeping your head in the game and not messing up a second shot and kind of getting in a rut there. And I think that's where we're really solid, is I think our kids are super mentally tough. They're solid kids, and I have a lot of confidence in them. So
between now and the Nationals, what do you do to try to keep the kids loose? Because at this point, you know it or you don't, right, when you get to this stage in the season?
Yeah, we've been practicing a lot. I told them, let's take tomorrow off. Their fingers get sore after we shoot so much. So I have a bunch of kids that they said their fingers were sore last week from shooting so much. And so I told them, let's take tomorrow off and then come into it relaxed. We got first choice when we got to shoot. And so I put us first. I wanted to shoot first. So we're at 12:15. On Friday, we're the first group to go at Nationals. So I think that's beneficial. And usually you get brand new arrows first. And so I think that's a plus too. So that should be helpful.
Well, Tom, I definitely appreciate you taking up the time to come in and give us an update on how the team is doing. It's a very exciting time. I know a very great experience for all these kids. Best of luck at Nationals. And hopefully we can catch up with you following Nationals to kind of get a recap on how the kids did.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I appreciate coming in.
Again, that's Tom Laszlo with the Mont Harmon Archery Team. Best of luck to those kids who will be participating in the National Championships tomorrow and Saturday. Best of luck to those kids. I think it's a great, great thing, and congratulations to those that are participating. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over to talk NBA basketball here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll it. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Let's talk some more NBA basketball here on Drive Time Sports. First off, do not forget you will be able to follow the Utah Jazz throughout the postseason right here on KOAL. First game of the playoff series will take place on Sunday. 4:30 p.m. start time, 4:20 live coverage is going to begin. The NASCAR race on Sunday will not air. We're going to make sure the Jazz game is on for you over NASCAR so you can watch your NBA or listen to your NBA playoff basketball. Travis, with that being said, let's talk about this matchup. Utah falls to OKC 3-1 in the season set. They end with identical records. OKC, however, gets the nod because they won the tiebreaker. You don't like this matchup for the Jazz. I do. I would rather the Jazz play OKC than San Antonio. I don't know if you agree with me on that one. To me, San Antonio, especially if they have Kawhi, it's a terrible matchup for the Jazz. OKC has enough problems defensively and enough holes that I think the Jazz are going to be able to score in this series. Defensively, to me, the Jazz are better than Oklahoma City. I know that's a real simplistic way of looking at it, but I like the Jazz to win this series. I really do.
I think there was two teams going in, if I was a Jazz fan, that I didn't want to see, and that would be San Antonio and OKC. I just go with the team that has the best player in the series, and that's Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook. The guy simply just goes 1,000 miles per hour the whole time, and you never know. This guy could explode for 40, 50 points in a game, and they still have Paul George, who's probably the second player, best player in this series. So I just like OKC. I just think that those two players push them over the top over the Jazz.
Yeah, I know that Donovan Mitchell is at instances throughout the year where he has gone bonkers, but that's still not the style of the Utah Jazz. That's not how the Jazz play.
No.
Okay, so if you think that Mitchell is going to have a game in this series where he goes off and he scores 35 or 40 points, I just don't think it's going to happen. First off, the playoffs are a completely different story. You're going to see a tighter rotation. You see the defense pick up drastically. I'm really curious to see how Donovan Mitchell performs in this game or in this series. But at the same time, defensively, the Jazz are going to be that much better now that we're into the postseason. I worry about the Jazz scoring points. Okay, I know we talk about defense wins championships. Look, offense will win you championships too. And I don't know if the Jazz have the firepower offensively. And you bring up Russell Westbrook. Look, this guy, clearly the leader on this team. But they get 20 points per game out of Paul George as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's an overlooked aspect. Look, Paul George is going to demand max money this offseason for a reason. This guy can flat out play basketball. Now, Melo is nowhere near the Carmelo Anthony of old. He's no
longer.
And I'm
surprised. I looked at Melo's numbers. I'm shocked at how many points per game he still averages.
15 a game?
Yeah, I thought it was lower than that.
No,
so,
I mean, he's a third option on the team is what he is.
You almost forget that he's there.
It was difficult for him to mesh, I think, for a very long time. in OKC. That's a different role for Carmelo. And so, I mean, really, if the Jazz win, Rudy Gobert is the key for me in this series. I know everyone's talking about Donovan Mitchell. I get it. The guy's a candidate for Rookie of the Year. He's been exciting. He's made Jazz fans forget about Gordon Hayward. But for me, it's Rudy Gobert. Okay, because one of the things that Russell Westbrook does so well is he can get to the rack, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason why this guy averages a triple-double. He's able to get to the rack. I don't know what percentage his assists are on kickouts, but this guy's the best penetrating guard in the league.
Yes.
I don't think there's any question about it because he doesn't play like a point guard and he has one gear, 100 miles an hour.
I agree.
Okay, so if Rudy Gobert can make Westbrook feel it every time he goes to the paint, okay, you do not let this guy get a clean look. You make him adjust every single shot that he takes in the paint. You make him adjust every single time he takes a driving lane to the left or he takes a driving lane to the right. You have to make him feel it. That's how the Jazz get this done. That's on both sides of the basketball.
Yeah, you got to make it somebody else on OKC beat you besides Russell Westbrook. So when he gets to that hole, you got to step up, make him kick it out to one of those other players. And for OKC, they are towards the bottom in free throw percentage and towards the bottom, I believe, in field goal percentage, bottom seven.
Yeah, I'm looking at this from, and again, Rudy Gobert is averaging like 14 points a game. Can Rudy keep that up in the postseason? Yeah, I think he can. I don't think that's going to be a problem for him in this series, although Steven Adams is a different beast. I get it. To me, Rudy is the most important player on this Jazz team. And I'm going to even take it a step further. And this is not a knock on Donovan Mitchell, because I think Mitchell is going to get his. The second most important player to me in this series, Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
Your defense, Jay Crowder's perimeter defense is going to be monumental in this series. Okay, and I think Crowder gets better. I think he's gotten better and better. Throw out the statistics. Go off of the eye test. Okay, let's stop with the analytics here for a moment. Go with the eye test. To me, Crowder has gotten better and better in this role with the Jazz. And if you can get anything out of him offensively, it's going to be a plus. But defensively, what he brings to the table is going to be huge in this series. When we talk about Paul George or we talk about Carmelo Anthony, to me, Gobert and Crowder are the two most important players in the series.
Yeah, because they're two defensive players, really good defensive players. So on the defensive side, Crowder's a guy that can slow Paul George down, maybe slow Russell Westbrook down a little bit. And then on the offensive end, he's a guy that can be a spot-up three-point shooter who's going to be very important to knock those threes down as the series moves forward.
Okay, now, if you flip that with OKC, if Westbrook dominates, they're going to win.
Yes.
Right? Because, again, I agree with you. He's the best player in the series. So if Westbrook has his way, the Thunder win the series. I think it's going to be difficult for him because I give the Jazz a lot of credit defensively. And, again, I just talked about Jay Crowder. I give this team a lot of credit defensively. Second or third best defensive team in the NBA. You can make the case that they're the best defensive team in the NBA when you look at Gobert in the middle.
Since January, yeah.
Really, they have. I mean, that's why the Jazz are where they're at. They were 9 games under .500 on January 22nd, and now they're the 5 seed, and they were 1 win away over Portland from being the 3 seed. So if Westbrook has his way in this series, OKC is going to win. I don't think it's one of those rules where you say, we shut Westbrook down, we make someone else beat us. That's not how you beat Oklahoma City because Carmelo, while he's not the Melo of old, he's still very capable.
You don't want to give him chances.
You don't want to give him chances. And Paul George is a guy to me that he is going to be a max player this offseason for a reason.
I think he's the X factor in the series.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Because again, if you shut down Westbrook, you still have a guy in Paul George that's going to give you 20 to 25 a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in a 7-game series, we can say that Paul George could average anywhere between 20 and 25 in this series.
Yes.
I think
agree.
That's realistic.
Yeah.
Steven Adams is going to be huge because he's going to have to body up Rudy Gobert. I like the matchup for the Jazz in that scenario, but to me, the most important player in this series for the Jazz, it's Gobert, and then it's Crowder. Mitchell's going to get his. He's going to get his points, and that's what you're relying on him for in this series, to push the offense. Joe Ingles is another guy like that. What can you do defensively to slow down Russell Westbrook? To me, it's that simple.
Yeah, and for Mitchell, he's got to be a guy. He can't be 6 of 25 or whatever he was last night. He has to be, 11 of 18, 12 of 19. Somewhere, he's got to be efficient because if he's going 6 of 25, 6 of 27, whatever the case may be, it's going to be a struggle for the Jazz.
We still have time to talk about this series, and of course, tomorrow we're going to talk about all the series. Give it to me. How's it end? You're still going to go with KC and 7?
I got okay. If the Jazz had home court advantage, I'd take the Jazz, but with OKC having home court, I like the Thunder and 7.
The Jazz ended up winning, 21 of 24 to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
Something ridiculous like that. I wonder how much last night's loss negates that.
How much is left in the tank? Because
you had to play a lot of great basketball to get back to where they're at right now.
That's what they did, yeah.
And they did. They played a lot of great basketball. The Jazz have to split one of the first two. I believe they will win both games, 3 and 4, at home.
I do, too.
Okay, so if you split out of the first two, you win 3 and 4 at home, it's their series. I'm going to take the Jazz in 6.
I think it goes, I think OKC serves home court, the Jazz do the same, and then it comes down to that game 5, and I just like OKC at home.
Typically, look, if it's 2-2, typically the team that wins game 5 wins the series. It's something like 88% of the time that happens. And that's not going to be at home, and we know that the Jazz, while they have improved on the road, they still have a losing record away from Vivint.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm banking on, is that team's going to fall back into that trap of not being a road team that can close out games.
Out of time on this edition of the show. We'll talk more NBA playoff basketball tomorrow. I want to thank Coach Josh Huntsman for taking out the time. And again, I really enjoyed the interview with Tom Laszlo talking about the Mont Harmon and Helper squads participating in the National Archery Championship. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. Same time, same place. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.